Perfect. Welcome back. What's up? It's your boy Monty G here with the first installment of the Mind of Monty Wrestling Podcast, episode 1 for this particular subject. Here with my guest, co-host, hopefully for the rest of these wrestling podcasts, as long as we can keep this going. Will be TC. Will you tell saying something? Say anything.
Hi.
Sorry. Sound shaky. Nervous.
Well, you gotta put me on spot there.
What am I supposed to do? I gotta let them know you're on here.
Yeah, that's true.
You just want to pop up out of nowhere?
Kinda. Just want to be, hey.
Well, do that.
It's too late.
No, it's not. Come on. You can pop out. Ain't nothing wrong. Anyway. How everybody doing? I don't know who I'm asking, but I hope everybody out there doing good right now. This is episode 1 of officially of the Mind of Monty podcast, but I want everybody to know that I'm going to be putting out multiple types of podcasts. Hopefully I can get some NFL content out, some NBA stuff, but this is my wrestling show. So this is going to be primarily pro wrestling. So if you're not a fan of pro wrestling, you know, catch up, man. Go watch some, you know. And if not, you don't have to, you know. But this ain't going to be the show for you. It's not this episode. Come back for another one, you know. Or, you know, listen. Maybe you can become a fan. Who knows? Why am I worried about you? All my wrestling fans. Let's talk some wrestling, man. We got a lot of stuff going on this week. So this is going to kind of be like a weekend review type thing. Or just more of a, you know, touching on a lot of the things that we're hearing. I also hope to have a Japanese wrestling version of this podcast, so that's going to be interesting. So all my New Japan fans out there, get ready for that. Well, what was first this week? Monday Night Raw, I believe. I don't know where it was at. I have no clue. I've forgotten. It's been a while. That's going to be tough. I'm going to have to start taking notes. That's what TC told me, which is true. So I tried to wing it, which I usually take notes. I usually wing it, but not this time, especially when we're talking a little pro wrestling. I want to give a lot of my opinions, but next time I'm just going to jot down some things and just so I can keep up with little small details like that, but it's not important. Anyway, the show started off with an apology, right?
Yes, Seth Rollins' apology.
All right, so you know, I think we all know where they're going with this, right? Like, at least the first part of it, you know, do we know where they're going with this? I'm kind of excited because they have options. You know, you can do the whole thing I've been hearing about, making AOP his boys, his new J&J security. I heard about that. You know, they, you know, they'll be pretty tough to stop, you know, if they're booked properly. But, you know, I remember that during their first run, AOP, they didn't fight anything but jobbers, so.
Yeah, and then they got injured.
So they seem to be rebranding them in a way. Seth seemed genuine in his apology. We're going to get into it when we mention WWE Backstage, where I think they're trying something. We'll mention that later. But as far as the segment goes, you know, Kevin Owens coming out there and getting in his face and what do you think about Kevin Owens being in, like, that top spot? Do you think he's the babyface for the brand? Or do you even think they have any idea what's going on since their champion is gone for the rest of the year?
I don't think that they had a plan after his injury and his return, especially when, you know, he came back to face Kofi or take Kofi's spot early this spring.
replace Kofi. What did he do to Kofi?
Took Kofi's spot. Okay, he took his spot.
Man,
don't
even get me started.
And then he's kind of found his way into a Stone Cold-esque type role on Raw these days. It's entertaining. I love to see Kevin Owens on the screen. And
I mean, he's doing the stunner.
Right, he always says what I'm thinking anyway, and I don't believe a thing that comes out of Seth's mouth right now. Not a word.
Well, he haven't gave you much to believe in.
Stay off Twitter.
You know, of course, obviously. But I don't know. We'll see where that's going. It's obviously AOP obviously got a problem with Kevin Owens. I wish they would at least explain that part. I don't know what he did to them. Why they don't like him all of a sudden. You know, I understand. You know, I don't know. It's heading somewhere, obviously, though.
Somewhere.
So, would we get, like, a TLC, you know, match with Kevin and Self? You think that's where they're heading? But probably not. You don't know. We don't know. We're getting to that, too. What's next? What happened next?
So, the Kevin Owens segment led to Bobby and Lana interrupting. We got a nice match out of that.
Nice. Who fought? Drew and
Bobby.
Kevin? No, Bobby.
And Kevin.
Bobby and Kevin. No, we did not get a nice match out of that one. See, I'm up here thinking you're talking about Drew.
No, it's but called Drew sarcasm.
Didn't even have a nice match because
it was not good.
It wasn't that bad. It was a good match. I like this match. But anyway, Bobby match as far as Kevin goes, that led to see, you talking about the match. Do you understand that match is like that's an afterthought?
But that segues perfectly into them getting into the altercation
with the officers.
With Rusev and the officers.
Yeah. Kevin also said what everybody was thinking when he was telling Lana, please shut up.
Oh.
Because she's been good at her job. I got to give her props. And apparently she's receiving death threats over this anger. That's just crazy. That's insane.
That's too far.
You know, I know. We're doing a wrestling podcast, and I love pro wrestling. But it's not that serious. You know that, right?
Oh yeah. Like when I had an Instagram, we saw in the comments like people slut shaming her, and it was like, dang, y'all take this very seriously.
You know, this is a TV show, right?
Right.
It's just a TV show, man. You know, it's just like, you know, Law and Order.
All right. Even still, don't go to someone's social media and call them out their name like you know them personally. Just stop.
No, they threatening her, too. Like, people are threatening her life over acting.
Yeah.
That's insane. Anyway, though, I said it last week. I want the feud to stop. Maybe one day it'll stop. I don't
know.
Maybe
TLC.
Bobby doing a bead. I mean, come on now. What, brother? I'm sorry. Lana ain't worth it. Whenever you cheating, whenever you taking somebody's wife and the wife end up getting you in jail, brother, like you need to let her go, man, messing around with that situation. Just let it go, Bobby. Yeah. I don't understand what Bobby is getting out of this. What does Bobby Lashley gain from any of this?
Arm candy. TV time, you know, we see him
as
more
beautiful
often.
As Lana is, do you really think it's worth it? I don't think it's worth
it. No, but those motivational Instagram posts.
Also, Bobby Lashley keeps talking about going back to MMA. I don't think he's re-signing. I think if his contract up, unless they offer him big money, Bobby might be going back to fighting and just leaving this alone entirely. Because WWE, cannot say the word. Ooh, that's an inside joke, right? Obviously. Get it? It's only me and you get it. Anyway,
I
was saying, what was I saying when I said
actually, you were saying about Drew's match that led to Drew's awesome promo on Randy.
I was
Randy.
Not saying that, but okay.
But we are. Awesome promo on Randy. You know, that big and tall type thing, young versus old. I'm excited for that. It's Drew's time.
First of all, we don't know if that's going anywhere because AJ Styles and Randy Orton obviously have something going on. Okay.
But Drew is trying to like finagle his way into that feud as
finagle.
Well. Either or.
What's up with you in this word?
It's a fun word. Anyway, and I feel like Drew deserves a title. I mean, if we're not going to let him go against Brock, which I think is wise, mind you, that's very wise.
I'm just happy he's winning now. And I'm worried that I know you were positive, but do you actually think he's going to beat Randy? They protect him pretty well.
Randy can lose. Randy can lose.
I do think he's at the
point. He did just sign that nice contract. He can lose. He's gotten paid.
Speaking of that, shout out to Randy on finessing that company out of their money by teasing like he actually had any intentions of linking up with Cody and going to AEW. Salute. He deserves a shout out to that one.
Yeah, signed months ahead of time, months in advance.
Get your paper. Anyway.
Next, we're going to talk about Aleister Black. So what are your thoughts on his new angle or his continued angle? I don't want to say it's new, but continued angle.
I just want him to fight. I'm tired of the pick a fight promos. I'm sick of those. I'm tired of hearing him talk about fighting more than he's actually fighting, even though when you'd actually let him fight, it's been entertaining every time. I'm sick of seeing his wife before or after every segment he's involved in.
They need to go home, man.
I'm just saying, why does it have to be that way? Like, I know what's coming next. That doesn't take a little bit out of, it suspends any type of sense.
I mean, if you don't think about it like that and just enjoy the show, you won't notice it.
No, you notice it. I notice it. Everyone should notice it. Every single time. If you see Zelina Vega, okay, Aleister Black is not that far behind. If you see Aleister, Zelina, and Andrade, not that far. And then if you see Andrade, you might see Charlotte next.
Possibly. But they no longer do that with Becky and Seth, so.
I just don't know why WWE feel the need to acknowledge it all so much now anyway.
Of the couples?
But, you know, whatever. That's an argument for a whole other day. If I get into that, then I might, you'll
ramble for 30 minutes about how kayfabe is dead.
I'm not that old.
Speaking of Andrade, next was Charlotte and the Kabuki Warriors.
I'm not that old. I'm stuck on that joke. And you talk through the laugh track.
Ah, you should have cued me.
You'll be all right. Anyway, Kabuki Warriors.
Dude, just press the buttons.
Hey, I didn't have a button bar in my first podcast. Okay. Right.
Enjoy.
What about the Kabuki Warriors?
How do you see them in the future?
Thanks a lot. I see them breaking up, obviously, like every other tag team ever in history. But anyway, right now, I like what they're doing, where they're sitting. I'm worried because the rumors is they're going to be defending those belts in a TLC match against Becky and Charlotte. And anytime you're in a title match against Charlotte,
I mean, Asuka's,
you're in danger.
Asuka's, gotten her wins back. So, I don't know.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. But come on now. They will definitely do it. Charlotte haven't had that belt yet.
No, she hadn't had the tag.
Now, why
titles.
Would she get it with Becky? I mean, storyline wise,
so that they both can be Triple Crown or Grand Slam champions. Grand Slam.
Yeah. Well, Becky wouldn't be if they count NXT in it. Now, I don't know if they even count.
Well, they said Alexa's a Grand Slam now.
Then never mind. So she good. It would count. I don't know. I love the Kabuki Warriors though. Anything Asuka do, I'm all for. Anything my Joshi girls on either show, if you see her, she's from Japan. EO, all of y'all, those my people. I love watching all of them work.
Ageless.
Yes, they don't age. You cannot tell me Kyrie's in her 30s. Google it, kids.
Adults, too.
What's next?
Just your thoughts on the Viking Raiders and where do you see their tag title reign going? Do you see them facing the OC again, or?
I'm sick of them fighting jobbers. I know that much, so I just hope they fight anybody with a storyline. I don't want to watch them fight the OC again. I think we know where it's headed. The problem with the Raiders is they've been booked so dominantly to where it's like, okay, you got to understand. So far in WWE, as far as the main roster goes, it's only four tag teams that exist in the last few months.
Maybe like a surprise Uso return, but like who would they face? Who is, like you said, strong enough to be booked against the Viking Raiders and win?
Yeah, other than the AOP, you can't name me a tag team that's on TV on Raw.
The OC.
That's not that they didn't just beat in the pay-per-view. I should have finished my sentence. How about that? They just beat them. The OC, you're right, is the only other faction on it. That's my point. We don't even have teams. We don't have any teams anymore, man. The tag team division is dead.
I just realized Lucha House Party is on SmackDown.
See? And you were about to say them, right?
I really was. And then, you know, the colognes no longer work there, so.
They don't have anyone. Like you said, they need the Usos back. But that's just one team, and we watched them. We watched that team dominate.
Right. They deserve a break.
So, it's like it's only so much they can actually do. So, no. As far as the tag division goes, who knows where it's going. Down you might be right, toilet. Though. You might be right. War Raiders OC again. That'd be about it.
And that's disturbing. So let's move on. Let's put Monday Night Raw on the back burner. Let's talk about what happened on Tuesday night on our favorite behind the scenes peek behind the curtain show, WWE Backstage.
I don't think it's that much of a peek behind the curtain.
My words.
Okay, go.
How do you feel about the lack thereof of CM Punk the past 2 weeks, but he will be back next week?
Expected. He's not an employee of WWE, which entails me to believe that, not saying, I don't necessarily believe he don't have a relationship at all with WWE, but I do believe that his relationship is purely with Fox, and it's not a coincidence that it was Triple H and Seth Rollins, you know. We've heard reports that WWE didn't like what Seth going at CM Punk in the first place. And now, you know, we know CM Punk's history with Hunter. So, you know, I'm not surprised he missed those shows. And is nowhere in, since the only people who we know were guaranteed to be on the show on a weekly basis is Renee and Booker T, really. Mm-hmm. Other than, you know, man, now we know Christian and Paige is going to be there every week too, most likely. You know. You don't necessarily need CM Punk every week.
No.
But I do. I am honest. I honestly want to know what's the point of having them on the show. Like, what is he going to contribute every other week or so? Or whatever, however they're going to do this thing. Like, what is it? Because, like, the first week, I know they did the big interview to get him to talk. But it's like, I don't know other than offering commentary what he has, you know. I do think anytime he talks is interesting. So that works in his favor, works in their favor. But, you know, they have fun on the show. I love watching it, so I think it'll be cool.
That's always nice. How do you feel about the news of John Morrison making his return back to the WWE since who?
A long time.
2011?
Long time, yeah, I think so. And if that's wrong, it's around that time at least.
It's 2011.
Okay, cool. So
I fact-checked.
TC, everyone. She fact checked. Anyway, thanks a lot for that. Thanks for fact checking. She has been, I'm saying she now because of you. Anyway, John said this when he left that he was going to come back. And since it's been that many years, she's corpsing hard over here. This is, come on now. Anyway, I'm sorry. I can't wait. We're going to set cameras up here one day, and you're going to see that she does not, she's not behaving. But anyway.
It makes it sound dirty. No.
Okay. You made it. You the only person who mind went there.
Really?
Anyway.
You use behaving in a non-dirty manner? Behaving?
Okay, that's not the point of this segment. We're supposed to be talking about John Morrison.
Okay, sorry.
I don't know. I have
the
no
shaman
clue.
Of sexy, everybody.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you remember him for.
Definitely those abs.
Slow motion.
The wind blowing in the hair.
I hope he has the slow motion when he comes back. You know, that's his gimmick. You know, or well, not really his gimmick, but that's part of the Morrison experience. I hope he has his same music. They changed Shelton Benjamin music and ruined it forever.
Where is he now?
Don't even bring it up. He's supposed to be on Raw. That goes. No. That go a tag team guy.
No, just let that go.
Okay.
Just let that go.
It's nice to see him back. I'm worried though because if you know anything about WWE, WWE. You don't like that?
No.
If you know anything, if you know anything about WWE, you know lately they have not treated the older talent well at all. So
the younger talent too.
Well, yeah, they haven't treated anybody that good, honestly. But I'm pointing out older talent because, like, I remember people were hopeful when Shelton Benjamin first was announced to come back that he actually was going to do something important. And since then, he hasn't done a thing. So
just not nothing.
My expectations are not too high, but he's still capable in the ring. He was just like TNA champion not too long ago.
I mean, so is Bobby, but look what we have.
Oh, man. So there go my optimism.
All right, so we kind of delved into Seth Rollins's, you know, ploy to continue to be beloved by the fans.
Yeah.
He took his show on the road Tuesday.
The whole entire interview was set up for him to try to make a plea. He acknowledged his stupid tweets. He didn't acknowledge it. To probably extent we probably want him to, or people want him to. But he definitely said more than what I thought. Like, he knows when things went awry on his baby face push. He know when he was hot last year, you know, it had a lot to do with his phone not being in his hand or whatever it is that he tweets off of. You know, because when he wasn't tweeting, he was everybody loves Seth. Monday Night Rollins, right?
Yeah, and it kind of felt like at some point that it was like an overcompensation. Like, he wasn't secure in his position, and he needed to show that he was 100% all in.
Everybody loves a company man, right?
Wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And then he was unnecessary. Like, you didn't even have to say some of the stuff he said. So, you know,
no, he
didn't. But he definitely seemed to be trying to make a plea. I don't know if they're trying to set it up to where he seems to either it's going to be awesome because they're doing the whole the heel who thinks he's doing right. You know what I mean? I love that because those are the best bad guys no matter what narrative you're telling is when they think they're doing right. Or they're literally trying to test the waters to see if they can go back to him getting his face reactions. You know, so I don't know. Because, like, WWE loves to set you up. You know, of course, their classic promo style, the Alexa Bliss, the famous Alexa Bliss, you know, come out to the crowd, say something nice, you know, get them pumped up and then turn on them in the middle of the promo. The only difference is they're doing this storyline wise.
Yeah, I think that's where they're going with Seth Rollins. This is leading up to a big heel turn. I think it's time. He's been babyface for a while now, and
he's better as a heel, man.
He really is because he seems like he's a heel in real life.
So. But like so far at their peaks, like I believe heel Seth Rollins when he was champion back in the day before the injury was like awesome. And even though this run with the Intercontinental title and him beating Brock was cool, it wasn't the same level that he was performing at when he was a heel. I thought he was much better, especially on the microphone, especially as a character.
Definitely.
You know, he toned it down much, and like most babyfaces do. The babyface role is, you know, it's a blessing and a curse because you can be loved, but it's, you know, you don't have much wiggle room as a character.
All right, let's switch gears here and let's start on something a little bit more recent. Let's talk about what happened last night on Friday Night SmackDown on Fox.
You know, so this is a little bit more of that good old great booking, huh?
Who's in charge there?
I think Pritchard, but I'm not sure. I don't know anymore. I don't know what's going on anymore. You hear one thing and then he not even out at night. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? You never know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think he is booking it. But how did the show start? I think it started off
with Miz TV. Miz. Yeah, talking about a missing Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Daniel Bryan's missing. So The Fiend has kidnapped a human being, a grown man, a father. We don't know if he's dead, but he's at least kidnapped. And no one has called law enforcement. Like, let's think of this like real life. Like, if you work somewhere and you don't show up to work and no one have seen you
in a week
since an employee attacked you.
No, I really do think he's like bound and gagged in the shed somewhere. His picture's on the wall, so that's, you know, good news.
Maybe. That's a sign of something. But anyway,
heel turn.
I mean, I don't know. They say the worst happens to everyone who messes with them. I like that. I want to know where they're going with that. I want to see if it's an overall storyline or if they're just trying to.
Is he forming a faction?
Are they blowing smoke? I don't know. They had a chance with a faction before. I do understand the Daniel Bryan thing resulting in a family. He kept mentioning family, so I want to see where it goes. They need to show back to that history when Daniel turned on him in the first time.
Yeah, and but
they're promoting a TLC match between him and Miz now, so I'm a match at TLC, so I'm conflicted.
Yeah, and again, and from everything that we've received, it is supposed to be just Bray Wyatt, not The Fiend. With the graphic, they did just show good old Mr. Rogers, Bray Wyatt, and his Blue's Clues, his blue title belt. Not the Fiend's custom title belt.
So will we be seeing a regular Bray Wyatt show up?
Right, and from all reports, the title is not supposed to be on the line, so anything can happen.
That's weird to me, you know, not having a title match. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think we talked about it. You don't think the Miz deserve it?
No.
And so that's true, but like I said, if I'm the Miz, storyline wise again, if I'm not fighting him for nothing.
I mean, this is for his family. He's not fighting for nothing.
He didn't actually do anything in his family. He threatened him, but
he photoshopped his picture.
Oh my God,
that's disrespectful.
Do you know how many Instagram and Twitter trolls you probably would have to fight?
RESPECT.
I guess, but we'll see. I don't know. Respect that, you know. Y'all know how I feel about fighting up for pride.
Alexa Bliss made a return to the ring after injury that we didn't know about, but, you know, that happened.
Yeah, I like how since she was babyface, they're starting to tell us because we knew she was hurt a lot, even when she was a heel.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just tell by the way they didn't want her to bump or take, you know, certain type of, you know, spots. You know, she's good at protecting herself though, so hopefully she can continue to be injury free.
Yeah, she also made her return against Mandy Rose, and her and Sonya have not been on the winning end of any segment lately, and they came off a really hot run earlier this year, with Mandy being the home wrecker and Sonya recently has the internet going crazy about calling her daddy. So
yeah, she went viral for a minute, you know, with that. But honestly, Mandy's and her run so far has been a big, you know, ever since then. You know, they have these moments. I don't know, maybe it's peaks and valleys or something like that. I don't know. Cause sometimes sometimes WWE seem like they want to do something with Mandy or Sonya, and then sometimes they end up losing right back to their spot. I don't know. I'm not sure where they stand. I thought they teased that they were gonna break them up at one point. We don't know. We don't know exactly what's going on. The women's division as a whole on main roster, like NXT, I like their division. They seem to really have it covered, but. The most main rosters they obviously have tiers. You know, you're going to mention another segment in this show mentioning women, and those girls seem to be on a totally different tier than Mandy and Sonya.
Yeah, like you said, the women's division is kind of missing something. And
where the hell is Liv Morgan?
That's a good question. Haven't seen her in months, honestly. Just,
you know, and we know Ruby's injured, but, you know, she'll be back soon. I saw Nia posting videos of her running in the performance center. So,
it's the women's roster is just lacking, and that's a good way to say it and move on.
At least the main rosters.
Yeah.
Like what NXT got.
Well, don't say main roster because now they're all equal. So it's just over there.
Okay, you're right. Yeah.
Raw and SmackDown, they're really missing some key components. I know for a fact that I don't even know what brand she'll be on, but I'm really missing Naomi's little dance break. Even like missing Carmella doing the, you know, doing the dance break with R-Truth and running around, like stuff like that kind of had me engaged a little bit more.
The sad thing about that is people like Carmella is just not even being used.
No, they're just
like she's healthy, and they're just like, you know, every now and then she has something going on, but you know, she hasn't had a major storyline in a while.
Yeah.
Other than just helping out Truth.
Dana Brooke's going out with Batista.
I'm interested in why WWE wants us to know this so much. Because even if this interaction is legit on Twitter, why do we care? They two grown people. Batista's old, by the way. He's in his 40s. Like, I know he looks young because he's in shape, but he's old. He's a very old man.
That's why he's bald.
He's in his 40s. You know, Dana's grown. You know, like, why do we care?
I don't know. Why does Elias care? That's a good question.
Why are they together? It's not anything. It's not a, you know, physical relation. They're not together unless Dana's just rocking like that. And that's what WWE wants you to think of her. No.
No.
Hopefully not, right? What? Women's Evolution, what?
Dana's a role model. She can't be out here doing that.
You can't be telling kids to flex when all you doing is having sex.
Ooh, burn. Terrible.
Yeah, I did too. Late. Y'all gonna hate that sound, boy, and I don't care.
Yeah, they definitely will. I hate it, and I don't even hear it.
That's because she.
There was a four-way tag last night. Your thoughts on that? How do you feel about the same old faces?
The match was good as always, especially when you get to the last two teams, but. Where they're going with it, who knows? I mean, I care about as much as Vince care about the tag division at this point on both shows. As much as I love the New Day, I mean, I don't care. I think this is the weakest thing you can do. They've literally destroyed Kofi Kingston. He was literally headlining pay-per-views now he's on the pre-show. The last big four pay-per-view. After main event or being in a title match, it's almost like. So, yeah. And then as far as them taking the tag division seriously, you know, I'm sure the Kofi and the Revival are going to have a great match at TLC, as always. You know, that's going to be cool.
Don't forget Big E.
I'm sorry. I should have said the New Day and the Revival. But, yes, definitely. Big E will be included. And, you know, I heard a little bit of their podcast. It's pretty awesome. Even though they're technically competition now.
There's no such thing.
But, anyway, exactly. But, yeah. I think the match is going to be good, but Vince don't care about the tag division. It's not really a story there. Like, again, it's kind of the same thing on Raw. I mean, I was interested to see maybe what Charlotte and Ali would look like against the New Day. But, you know, you got to have it heel, I guess. So, I don't know.
In WWE, you
have to have a heel, apparently.
Just a disclaimer, you have Monty, a.k.a. Mr. Know-It-All, is going to tell you how he felt about Lacey Evans' Marine remarks.
Okay, so I predicted this. I don't like how you laid it because there ain't no Mr. Know-It-All. It's just I've watched enough pro wrestling to pretty much know how they like to do certain things. And what they like to do is, you know, typically when Lacey was a heel, they didn't mention the Marines at all. They didn't mention nothing about her service. And I was sitting here like, so while she's over here carrying favors and, you know, and talk and just, I don't know, just she didn't seem like what she could be. As a character, like, because she has the background. She's, like, a legit Marine. She is a mother. She's married right now. Like, she's,
like, the perfect role model.
Like, perfect, a great role model to have and a good character for them to get behind. Why does she have to do, you know, the other stuff that she had going on? Why they had to zoom in on her butt in that match with Baron Corbin just for a shot? I don't even understand it. Like, she could be, like, a badass Marine character or whatever, anything. And as you can see now, as she's babyface, even though she ended up getting dropped, they highlighted her background as a mother and in the Marine now that she's babyface. And I told you months ago that was going to happen. And right on cue, when they're trying to turn her babyface.
This also could, like, coincide with the tribute to the troops.
It definitely does.
since, you know, she's very vocal on social media, and she's babyface now, they may have felt that, okay, it's time to let the cat out of the bag. No?
Yeah, but I don't think it, I mean, first of all, in this day and age, there ain't even no point in holding on to information like that, because everybody got an Instagram, and you're going to see their old pictures of what they had going on. It's the same thing with, oh, I'm not calling him that, Chad Gable.
Yeah.
Like, why in the hell are we just talking about his height when this man was in the Olympics for wrestling?
Because
meaning he could, first of all, he average height of a man, so any average person out here is not, like, bigger than Chad Gable. Second of all, he's a wrestler, which means you probably don't want to try to grapple with him. It's insane. It's insane.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. Typical WWE, they do certain things, and that's just, it's just, it won't change.
But I am excited to see where they're going with it.
Did you notice that Shinsuke Nakamura has been absent last night? Well, was absent last night.
I think they don't know. I think we probably, everyone probably knows that. I mean, he's the champion, but it's not really much for them to do. I mean, I can say, I don't really even know who could you put him in a feud with. I like the fact that he's been booked well. I'm worried. The thing is, I'm actually happy that he's protected, because the longer he's off TV, the safer that championship is. Because I don't want him to lose it. But at the same time, they've done that before with him,
mm-hmm.
when he was a U.S. champion. So, you would like him to actually sink his teeth. You told me that phrasing was going to get me. You jinxed me. But anyway, yeah. Sink his teeth into something. I hope, like, an actual rivalry. You know, he hasn't had a legit rivalry, in my opinion. Well, he had something slightly with Mustafa. And, you know, I guess the triple threat match, that didn't really count as a rivalry, but it was something to do. AJ was the last time I felt like they gave him an actual story, though. Mm-hmm. And that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know. But
and even then, like, who could he face right now? Who?
Yeah, SmackDown's mid-card is pretty in flux. You know, if you ask me. And then anyone who's challenging Bray Wyatt ain't nothing but
food for the fodder.
Exactly. Like, we gotta build this Fiend character up, so everybody at the top of the card, except Roman maybe, is in danger.
We don't even know where Roman is.
But Roman is getting thrown dog food on him at the end of shows.
In his head.
Why the hell is that storyline so damn goofy?
Yeah.
They had the dog mascot.
The terrible sound effect, the chihuahua barking on the screen, the Titantron.
Like, I understand Roman is big with kids. Or the younger demographic, but it doesn't have to be so goofy, like just that bad. And I don't think kids care about that. Some of this stuff.
No, I don't think so either. That's just a bad idea. I don't know who booked it, but that's just a bad idea.
No one calls him the big dog, but Michael called anyway.
That's true.
Anyway, what's next?
Just talking about how last minute everything seems for this TLC pay-per-view that's supposed to be coming up on December the 15th.
Well, from the reports I heard, or I've seen, that they seem to have data that indicates that the subscriptions are, because that's what they go by now. They don't necessarily go by
how many people watch.
How many people watch, which is stupid to me, because after a while you're going to have a base of people who keep the network, right? Or do new subscribers the only one that really matter? Like, that's what I'm kind of trying to figure out. But anyway, they said that their information shows that, you know, unveiling the card closer to the actual pay-per-view helps. So, you know, if that's what they want to say, if that's what they think helps out, you know, I'm not going to argue that the data. You know, it's funny when you don't have the data. Just not, you can't argue against it. It's just
no, but you can speculate that it's just another excuse that they can use for not planning properly. And just by saying, well, people will pay for the pay-per-view or will subscribe for the pay-per-view because I think the first time it's free.
Yeah.
Which, I don't understand how that affects anything, because you're not making a profit off of it the first time. They can just watch that one pay-per-view and unsubscribe. Like,
yeah, but I think to watch, don't you have to sign up for something, but you just, your first month is free? Isn't that the case?
No, it's the first pay-per-view. The pay-per-view that you sign up for is free.
So, okay, cool. See, I've had a subscription for so long, I don't even know how the process even works. But, yeah, it might be, like I said, their data says that's what they claim, but, whatever. It could be just another cover up. But next week we'll have a card after Raw, and then we can do a preview show.
Yeah, come in and speculate on that.
And then do a review.
Switching gears. Just to spotlight our two Wednesday night shows. Let's get started with NXT and how that show opened up with Keith Lee. And how do you feel about his reign so far?
Well, I know we kind of discussed this before the show, and I kind of said we can circle around all into the picture. So to start here with Keith Lee, I'm going to circle that into the title picture also, because they seem to have big things planned for Keith Lee. He's obviously the guy who's a sole survivor for NXT. Not really a survivor. He got pinned by Roman. He lost the match. But he was the last guy standing for NXT. He was in the match with Roman. He had a great showing. I think he really got over with the crowd. But also, what are you showing me?
Never mind.
What are you showing me? Just say it now, because you threw me off.
It's too late. Continue your thought.
You interrupted it.
Continue
the thought. The thought is gone. She completely ruined it. Anyway, like I was saying, Keith Lee, what he has going on right now and what he's doing, you can obviously see that they have good intentions for him. And they really think that he's next. So we'll see, I'm excited to see where they're going with it. I like that whole entire picture. It's multiple people in it, because they're keeping Tommaso Ciampa involved with the Adam Cole thing. And, we also know that the Undisputed Era are the tag team champions and the North American title. I'm really thinking that Roderick is keeping that warm for Velveteen, but maybe I'm wishful thinking.
I don't know. They've added Dominik Dijakovic to the scene, too.
Yeah.
So he could be the next contender for Roderick. The
UK, yeah, maybe. I mean, not UK, but North American. But Adam Cole, who's money, we all know he's money. He's been having classic matches for a long time. I can't wait to see, if he does something one-on-one with Keith, or is he going to go to a multi-man match with Keith Finn and Tommaso. Where are they heading with this? Triple H always like to keep you guessing, keep you wondering. So far, at least it seems, with his decision making. So, with that being said, I think I like their entire scene with Keith Lee, and I really think Keith Lee is money. I think if anybody can wipe, come on, man, he does things that's impossible for someone his size. And, you, on the other hand, don't appreciate him the way he should be. You like just roasting him all the time for some reason.
It's not that I don't appreciate his athleticism. It's just that I noticed a trend. That age is starting to kick in. Lately, he's been letting it all hang out. No more false hairline. I'm starting to see some grays.
False hairline, people. That is what she's accusing Keith Lee of having.
Not accusing. I have proof.
You have proof that he has a false hairline?
Yeah, theoretical.
Okay.
Strike that from the record.
Deion, shout out to Deion Sanders. He was bald for years, and now he has a full head of hair. Who knows? Keith Lee may be holding on to something. LeBron haven't went all the way there yet. Oh, never mind. He has a shout out. Hey, I ain't mad at him.
One day we all need to come home. Well, y'all, not me.
Okay. Anyway, on to the next one.
Next, we're going to talk about the great matchup, Killian Dane.
The match with Pete Dunne, their whole entire thing, Punishment Martinez.
Damian Priest.
Because he's included, too. But he's hurt injured. Of a sudden.
Convenient.
Yeah, nice convenient injury. I don't think any of them can be. Injuries can't be convenient. No one wants to get hurt.
I mean,
you just saying the timing.
Mia Yim had a convenient attack.
Oh, I thought Dijakovic had something really going on. Who knows? Okay, maybe you're right. Anyway, either way, go. Killian Dijakovic. Won. We're not talking about Dijakovic. We're talking about punishment. I'm calling him. I'm mixing up names.
Use his real name, Damien.
I'm not going to say that's not his real name.
Use his current iteration. Okay,
okay, there you go.
Damien Priest.
They both tall. That's the only thing I got. That's the only thing they got in common.
Really? That really is the only thing they have in common.
Anyway, I'm not sure where they're heading with it. We'll see.
I'm not either.
But they always have great matches. So that's one thing about this whole scene, this whole Wednesday night scene. They have great back and forth matches. But like story wise, where the hell any of these stories going? You know, I know where a couple of them are not. A couple of them are very interesting, like the Dakota Kai situation. That's an interesting story. I think we talked. I think you talked about that. How you believe Mia Yim and Dakota Kai, where that could go. And you know, I don't know why you're doing this in the middle of the show, but thanks for that. Anyway, we need cameras.
I just needed it to be known. That was it. I wish you stopped.
They don't know.
Stop bringing my personal life into this.
Stop bringing your personal life into this recording session.
Anyway.
Like I was saying, with Mia Yim and Dakota Kai.
Yeah.
No, don't try to correct me now. You showing me random pictures that ain't got nothing to do with this. Anyway.
You believe?
I don't think they're going anywhere. I believe the end game of that feud is going to be Tegan Knox, obviously. Because that's where it started, kind of.
You know?
Her and me and you are going to have probably a good, you know, fight.
That hood rat is what Dakota Kai called her.
Yeah, and by the way, people, Timberlands and sweatpants.
Do not make you a hood rat.
Do not make you a hood rat.
I think.
Sorry, I mean, I just gotta tell kids that. Kids, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think you can attribute clothes to a type of person.
I mean, no, you could, like back in my day.
Okay, no. See, that's what people mess up now. This ain't your day.
A hood rat used to be a woman with like super.
Why I gotta be a woman?
Super long nails, because I'm a woman. Now, shut up. So, okay. Super long nails, and they did the little clicking thing. Click, 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 click with their fingers. That's what used to be a hood rat in my time. But now it's like Timberlands and sweatpants. That's just like comfortable in cold weather. So, I don't know. I'm lost. I don't understand how she's a hood rat, but we'll.
We're going to have to strike her with her recalling of a hood rat from the records, too, by the way, because you may have just described somebody out there, and I don't want them to be offended automatically. Nah, fuck it. Who cares? Anyway, come on.
Whoa.
Come on.
Okay, so last thing that we need to actually discuss about NXT would be Shayna Baszler and her nice matchup with Xia Li that was on Wednesday, and where you see that going. Didn't you say that that's leading to a last match in December type of situation?
Okay, both shows, but we're getting to AEW's version of it, which I don't necessarily know exactly off the top of my head. I think Jericho. Never mind. I did. Okay. My point is, December 18th is a big day. It's going to be a big Wednesday because everyone is building up to these shows. So what I saw promoted was Rhea and Shayna is going to be fighting that night. And so obviously, even though Xia Li gave a great battle against Rhea Ripley. Against Shayna. Man, I'm confusing names. This is not good right now. Anyway, against Shayna, you know, the result was expected because Shayna chokes everyone out. But what I like to see or what I like to hear about when it comes to that is, you know, where are they going with that? And it's obviously Rhea Ripley should be the one to take the belt from Shayna. Shayna's been a champion for a long time. She's a two-time champion. Rhea's perfect for the position. I don't see a point in prolonging it. You know, just let Rhea take it on the 18th. Be a nice Wednesday night show. And finish NXT for the year off on a good note. Book it. I promise. If it happens and I'm right, you know, editing this clip, and I'm going to brag for the rest.
Rest of the year?
I might brag next year, too. You don't know.
Okay.
At least until January 1st.
Also, now I see. Now I see why the 18th is an important day. Because the only other Wednesday is Christmas. And, you know, talent don't work on Christmas. So.
Thank you, because I do remember a couple Christmases ago, they actually had to work on Christmas. Because it was on a Monday. Yeah. Raw, they had to do a Raw on Christmas. I think it was taped, though, right? I don't know. No, Who knows? I don't even know. But anyway.
They worked Christmas.
Yeah, so December 18th is going to be a big day for both shows. So AEW is going to have Jericho defend his title for the last time this year. And I think it's going to be against Jungle Boy based on a nice segment where Jericho cussed. I forgot exactly what he said. Oh, yeah. I think you're a piece of, you know what? Right in the middle of the
feces.
Yeah, right in the middle of the promo. Crazy.
Moving forward.
I like that. I've noticed a trend with AEW, though.
Here we go.
You know, they start off the show with a nice competitive match. A la Spanish God and Ruffian and Thug. If you don't watch the show, you don't know who the hell I'm talking about.
Sammy Guevara. Santana and Ortiz. Continue.
Yeah, like I said, Spanish God, Ruffian and Thug. And versus Dustin and the Bucks of Youth.
The Natural.
The Natural, Dustin Rhodes and the Bucks of Youth. It was a great match. I don't know who won. I don't even remember. Because a lot of those first matches are a blur. But what I do remember is every week so far I've watched the show. They started off like that. Then, you know, they have a nice, you know, another nice match or another nice segment. Because I think the women came out there and they have, Sheeta lost to the new girl.
Statlin.
That was not her name. Statlander.
Yes,
or something.
Yeah, Statlander.
Yeah, get it right.
Oh, I have to get it right.
The alien girl.
I was way closer to
you. Got a nice upset. Shout out to her.
Throw an ER on there and boom.
Magic. Anyway, it's magic. You're right. Boom. Anyway, we say anyway a lot. We got to do better at these.
No, you say anyway a lot.
You made it this way, though.
No, I didn't.
Like I was saying.
Oh, like I was saying.
So you got to switch it up.
Synonyms.
Okay. Now you just being too condescending for me. But, you know, they have this trend. They have a couple competitive matches, which, like I said, I want the show to be around wrestling. So I like the fact that right now, at the end of 2019, I like to say that pro wrestling is doing a great job of showcasing wrestling. Because every week is pretty decent matches on TV. So if you enjoy wrestling, it's been great. But they do that, and then Jericho comes out. I think it's like maybe the 9 o'clock hour, or maybe it's the, you know what I mean? He comes
halfway
through the show, and he entertains the hell out of you with a nice promo. You know what I mean? The Inner Circle does what they've been doing. And next thing you know, we have a couple more matches. Nice main event. And then the show is over with maybe a brawl or a stare down. And, you know, it's been predictable. Not necessarily predictable, but they seem to be doing the same kind of structure every week. And it's not a big deal. I don't have a problem with it. You know, I enjoy the show so far. But Jericho has been the highlight to me.
Well.
And, you know, maybe it's because I'm biased and I'm prepared for what he's bringing. But you gotta admit, he's on another level right now.
He is definitely living his best life. But he's one of the reasons why I watch. But last Wednesday, we've been kind of seeing Brandi take over as her role over the women's division, you know, being that go-to person to maintain everything. But now she has begun starting her own faction with her and Awesome Kong and that stranger from the barricade who got her head shaved.
That was the weirdest segment ending ever. I have no clue why that lady just sacrificed herself for this shaving. I don't know where they're going with it. Yes, it's interesting, but, you know, Awesome Kong could do anything, and in the women's division is going to be cool. So we'll see where it's going. It'd be nice. nice to see where it's going.
Yeah, because we were worried at first. We were thinking that maybe Awesome Kong would be in, like, a lackey role, being her bodyguard in the beginning. But to see that it's more of a faction and an extension of another faction. And it's definitely taken its own career or its own twist and turn to make this this storyline very interesting.
Yeah, because they invited the alien girl, and that's one thing I'll say. I know I'm gonna have to do better, but she's alien girl for now. Cause I don't like her name anyway. Sorry, lady.
Statlander.
She's pretty decent too in the match too, but anyway, they invited her to join the collective.
Mm-hmm.
And since Vince hates faction, AEW seemed to be like, you know what, we're pulling them out. The Dark Order, the Inner Circle, this collective. You still got the Elite who existed before this even started. Best Friends in Orange, if they count as a faction, if you want to say. Just saying,
SCU.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, SCU. Like, they have a team. They have a strong tag division and an actual faction. Things that I wish WWE would venture back into.
It's like, to me, kind of a blending of both styles. You have more of that New Japan home base type of faction feel. And then you have, you know, more of the sports entertainment side of bringing in WWE's type of wrestling as well. It's like a good blend.
Yeah, and exactly. And that's what I'm saying. I think that's the way it should be. And, you know, I like where they're going. There's certain things I wish they would do better. You know, I wish JR was a little bit, you know, different on commentary. You know, he seems to be it's almost like having your father, but, you know, call your favorite pro wrestling. It's not a big deal, though, because I love JR, but we noticed it for years, if you're a New Japan fan, that he's kind of changed his style.
Mm-hmm.
From, you know, but, you know, still enjoyable wrestling, so. That's the overall the best part about it. Is there anything else that happened on the show?
No, I think that about sums it up. With your thoughts about the product thus far and how you've seen the progression over these past few weeks. Has it been 2 months yet?
Since when? Since this?
Since the show started.
AEW thing?
Yeah. I know it started in October.
It started in October, so yeah. Like you said, I think it started October. Yeah, so it's been a little while. We've had enough time to kind of develop opinions about it. Mm-hmm. They did run an ad like they were smashing NXT in the last 2 weeks. They've been doing bad in the ratings against NXT, so they probably want to keep those type of things away. That's the one thing. I think we should all just enjoy the pro wrestling. You know, I don't think it needs to be a war. I think we just need to enjoy pro wrestling, be happy that there's multiple platforms again, and just try to, you know, make the business. You know, even if it doesn't, it's probably never going to be what it was, but, you know, I think it's in a great place right now. And that's why I'm doing this podcast, to continue to cover it, to continue to discuss the things that I find interesting, that we find interesting on this show, on these shows. And it's just so much good pro wrestling out here. That's why I can't wait to release the New Japan episode of the Mind of Monty podcast. I don't have a rundown yet, but I will be predicting some NFL games, maybe some next week, coming in with a nice NBA show. The Mind of Monty podcast, I have plenty of ideas, plenty of approaches that I'm trying to take to this. But, you know, bear with me, you know, continue to support, listen, share with friends, you know, let everybody know about the podcast. And thanks to everybody for listening. You know, it's tough, you know, coming out here and not coming out here, but, you know, getting on here and, you know, expressing yourself and, you know, leaving yourself out there, because anytime you release anything, you know, to the public, it's up for interpretation. So I'm doing my best to but I'm entertaining. It do sound like I'm padding time. It's because I lost my train. Leave me alone. As y'all can see, Tisha is the person who annoys me to death. She will be joining me on these shows as she see fit and when she has time. I want to thank her for being a terrible co-host. And, you know, we'll see you guys down the road, hopefully.